Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. You can't win in the race of life when you don't tell the truth. God made it plain in commandment number 9, do not bear false witness. Whether it's a little white lie or a real whopper, any falsehood breaks this commandment. To learn more, stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. On today's broadcast, Pastor Lutzer takes us to the 9th of the 10 commandments as he concludes a message on to tell the truth. We're in 1 John 1:6, learning that many believers lie by saying one thing and doing another.
If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. What he's saying is that what comes out of our mouth is inconsistent with our life. We say, I walk in the light. We stand up and we give testimonies and say, you know, it's wonderful to walk with the Lord and to have fellowship with him and all that. And yet there are hidden areas of darkness in our life. If you can think of our lives as a house, and every house has several different rooms, and every one of these rooms represents a different area of our life. One room represents our business life. The other room represents our married life. The other room represents our academic life. The other room represents the financial part of our life. And we have all of these different rooms within us. And if there is darkness there because there is something that we have not surrendered to God, the text says we lie and we do not do the truth. And remember what God says in Proverbs, these 6 things doth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him, and twice lying is mentioned. God hates it because God is truth. Satan loves it because he is a lie and the father of lies. So it's possible to lie by what you say and by what you do, combining the two and putting them together. Look at another lie that John talks about. This is in the same book, chapter 4, verse 20. Another kind of lie that he speaks about. If someone says, I love God, and he hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. That's interesting. Here's somebody who stands up in church and sings, My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine, for thee all the follies of sin I resign. But he has resentment against his brother. The text says, if someone says, I love God, and yet he hates his brother, he's a liar. You know, you read it and you say, well, why is that the case? And the rationale that is given is that it is easier to love someone whom you can see and you can serve than it is to love God who is unseen. That's what he says. But you say, I have resentment in my heart towards my brother. If you have resentment in your heart towards your brother or towards your sister, in effect also, by the way, you have resentment against God. There's a very quick transfer there because there are people who say that because it was because of God that my parents abused me, or why did God allow this to happen to me? And it's very easy for us as human beings to take hatred against a person and then end up directing that hatred against God. And so he says that it is not possible to say, I love God and yet hate my brother without lying. You say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, if you don't, then you are calling God a liar, because the text says that can't be done. Now you see, what the Lord is saying to us is that he desires that we have, and the key word here is integrity. Integrity, that's a good word, and God knows we need a lot of it. We have so many people today who, when you speak to them in church, they appear as if all is well. But actually in their lives, they're building up a whole network of deception and deceit. If only the truth were known, they lack integrity, honesty, the ring of transparency and truthfulness. Remember that earthquake? I wouldn't expect you necessarily to remember when it happened, because it happened in the year 1906. But do you remember that earthquake that you've read about that took place in San Francisco on April the 18th, 1906? As a result of that earthquake, 700 people died, 300,000 were left homeless, 28,000 buildings were destroyed. Very interesting. An architect said that the reason that the toll was so great was not because of the earthquake necessarily being that large, but he attributed the devastation, at least a large part of the devastation, to what he called dishonest mortar. Dishonest mortar. The builders of San Francisco had used a lot of cheap sand mixed in with not enough expensive limestone. They did that in order to conserve, in order to make some money on the deal, just like builders sometimes do today when they are constructing buildings with inferior materials. And what happened was that dishonest mortar, though it was hidden for a long time, when the earthquake came, it was revealed that many of those buildings were not built well, and that's why the devastation was so great. Now I thought to myself, you know, there are a lot of lives that are being built on dishonest mortar. Dishonest mortar. Jesus once told a story. He said that those who build their life on the sand, they may have a beautiful house with a right number of windows, and it may be a very impressive structure. It looks just as beautiful, if not more so, than the person who builds his house upon the rock. And so you can't tell the difference on a beautiful, sunny Sunday afternoon in Chicago. But then Jesus said, when the storm comes and the judgment begins to come and you begin to have problems and the wind begins to blow and the hail begins and you have lightning and thunder and all that, suddenly the house that is built upon the rock stands and the one that is built upon the sand collapses. Collapses because of dishonest mortar. You know, there have been people whose lives have appeared to be so normal, so godly, so neat, who have built an entire network of secrecy in terms of the hiddenness of what they have done, all of which has been built upon deceit. It's amazing to see this happen, because our hearts are naturally deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, the Bible says. Who can know it? And God says, I hate a lie. I hate a lie. And the time is coming when Antichrist comes, when the scripture says men and women are going to believe the lie. God will send them strong delusion that they might believe the lie. Right now in Sunday school, as I teach the New Age movement, it's really based on an incredible number of subtle lies. But there are some lives that are based on lies too. Do you remember David? David tried to cover his sin. He went to a great deal of trouble to try to do that. He brought Uriah back from the battle. He tried to get Uriah drunk. He then eventually ended up killing Uriah so that it would look as if Bathsheba just became his wife and everything was fine and that there was nothing wrong with their relationship. Cover upon cover upon cover. You've heard me say that it's rather ironic that the man who went to such great lengths to cover his sin is almost today famous for it. Everybody knows that David was an adulterer. But it's very interesting that when he began to cry up to God in Psalm 51, he says, thou desirest not sacrifice. But also he said in Psalm 51, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be declared righteous when thou judgest. David says, God, you are a God of truthfulness, of justice, of righteousness, of transparency, and I am confessing that this sin was against you. Interestingly, in Romans chapter 3, Paul picks up that verse and he adds the words, let God be true and every man a liar. Every man a liar. Now, if you're here today and do not realize the deception that is in your own heart, you are really making God a liar. You're making God a liar. Because the Bible says that each of us is born with a deceptive nature. Each of us has a great dose of untruthfulness because a drop of Satan's rebellion, a drop of his desire to lie, has fallen upon every single human heart. But what God says to us today is that I can forgive that. I can forgive that. If you're a Christian and there is deception in your life, it is very, very important that that get taken care of to the extent that it can be. Even if it means writing a letter to a university that you graduated from, if it means taking something back, if it means some untruth that you told to someone where you misled them, if it's some business deal where there has been some dishonest mortar, you have that responsibility before God because God hates lying. If you're not a Christian, your first responsibility is not to worry about all of the deceptions in your life, except insofar that they are a reminder of the fact that you desperately need to be forgiven and to be cleansed by God and to be received in His presence. And the good news is that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, His death was a sacrifice for sin. He died in our place whereby we could be forgiven and cleansed, and God can make us one of His own and actually give us a nature, a new nature that hates deception. Because that new nature does, because it is patterned after Jesus Christ. And the reason that you ought to flee to the cross with such tremendous speed, figuratively speaking, is because the Bible says this in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. It says, outside of the holy city, after a beautiful description of the New Jerusalem, it says, outside of the holy city are sorcerers, deceivers, and all liars. All liars. Interestingly, in that list of people outside of the holy city, it doesn't say all sorcerers, though that may be implied, but it lists sorcery and murderers, and then it says all liars. Why? God says, I hate abomination and lying. God hates it because He's a God of truth. Whatever the dishonest mortar is in your life, will you confess it and forsake it and expose yourself to God, whatever the cost? God says, thou shalt not bear false witness.
Well, my friend, when it comes to issues of truth, all of us, of course, have spoken words that have put ourselves in a better position or made ourselves look better than we really are. But God loves the truth. The more transparent we are in God's presence and even sometimes in the presence of others, God is honored. Let me ask you a question. Would you be willing to pray about the possibility of partnering with us in this ministry? We know that you have the opportunity of making investments in other ministries that share the gospel, but pray about the possibility of becoming a partner with us. Now, this happens to be the time when we have our matching gift challenge. Any gift that you give will be doubled. What an opportunity for you to hold hands with us and to make an investment in this ministry which goes around the world. Thanks in advance for helping us.
You've heard Pastor Erwin Lutzer concluding To Tell the Truth, another message in a series on the Ten Commandments. Next time, we turn to the last of the Ten Commandments. Join us then for The Sin Nobody Sees. Your gift to Running to Win is appreciated and can be doubled during this month. Help us take advantage of the matching gift campaign by calling 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.